You're listening to Octahedron episode 5. It is 30th of November 2016 and we are recording ourselves in a secret location in Berlin, which is EthDev office. And our guest today is Dominic Tarr.
Hello.
And my co-host Dirk is also here.
Load.
Dominic Tarr is working on Secure Scuttlebutt for a long time, mm-hmm. and that's what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I have no idea what it is, so can you explain it?
Well, Secure Scuttlebutt is a cryptographically secure decentralized gossip protocol. So a scuttlebutt is the barrel that today's water ration is stored in on a sailing ship.
So, today's water ration.
Yeah.
So the water that, okay, we imagine we are on the ship,
yep.
and there is water rations. Mm. Okay, continue.
It's like a water cooler in the office, and you know, gossip flows around the water cooler. So that's the thing. But the difference between gossip protocols have some interesting properties. Like it doesn't matter. They're very simple to ensure that. Messages will get through, but there's no clever way of there's no clever fancy way of routing. It's just the peers talk randomly to each other, basically. And what makes it secure is that they can't, so in insecure gossip, I could say that Vlad said that you smelled, and he was saying all sorts of nasty things about you.
You don't say it to me, but you.
I could tell you that someone else said.
Yeah.
All sorts of things. And then you'd be like, oh, screw that guy. But I can easily just make that shit up because human gossip is insecure.
Mm-hmm.
But in secure gossip, I can relay what other people have said, but I can't change it.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
this is really interesting for a protocol because it means you can receive someone else's data via me, but still verify it's authentic.
Okay, but I would need, I can imagine that with public key cryptography, I would need the public key of the other person to verify that.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's all you need.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, and I need to identify them, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But once you know that I'm interested in what this public key does, then you can, you don't need to talk to them directly.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, So then that means the network can be very
meshy,
flexible,
like a mesh network. For
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And it works great with sneaker nets as well. So
what was sneaker net again?
When you physically carry the data.
Yeah.
On foot. Okay. So.
And sneaker because of the shoes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not sneaking, just checking.
Okay. It refers to the shoes.
Yeah.
So, in the zombie apocalypse. You can imagine that 3G is broken, internet cables are all being severed.
But we still have Bluetooth.
Yep, we still have Bluetooth and we still have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but only like aisles of Wi-Fi.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But we can travel between the different Wi-Fi islands and Secure Scuttlebutt will still work great.
Okay, is it more meant like store and forward? Or is that just implicit because it can be slow, but it doesn't have to be?
It's kind of, it's not quite store and forward, but it's sort of a similar effect where, so basically each identity has a log that they can append to.
Yeah.
I call it a signature chain. It's similar to a blockchain, but it's only signed instead of, there's no proof of work involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it much cheaper to run.
Every node maintains this log.
They have their
for
own,
themselves.
Yes, they all have
okay.
their own chains.
Okay.
I would like reduce Dirk's level because you kind of have this little crackling noise. Yeah.
Better?
Yeah, I think it's better now. Now you okay. have soft, smooth voice you usually have.
Okay, mm-hmm. sorry for interrupting, but is it okay, or should I just let you explain and then ask my questions?
Yeah, no, ask questions.
Okay, So everybody maintains their own ledger. It's not a ledger, yep. right? It's just...
Well, no, it's secure. Pretty much like a ledger, but it's okay. a personal ledger.
Okay, yep. And then...
So it's a linked list in a sense, yep. right? Linked list of all the messages which come from me or from everyone?
From you.
So all my messages, like... well, we're sort of jumping into the application layer, but I think it's probably good because it's like it's a good for building messaging applications in a scenario of zombie apocalypse. And so the idea is that, like, let's say every time I send a message, like a tweet, the next one gonna have a hash of the previous one and yep. so on.
So it's a hash pointer list. Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And this is two good benefits. Where one is that it's easy to verify that you're not missing anything, because if you see the latest mm-hmm. thing, you know that you don't have any gaps, and it makes replication very easy because I just can represent my current state with a single integer. You just say I'm up to message number 27, and then if I have anything after that, I just can give it to you.
Okay.
And then you can verify it because it appends only.
So just to make sure that I understand it, that I can make sure that there are no gaps, but I don't know if I have the newest version of everything.
No, you don't know that you have the newest yeah. version. But so I could, if I had some new news from someone that I didn't want you to know,
mm-hmm.
I might just not pretend that it hadn't happened.
Yeah.
However, you'll probably find out from someone else.
Yeah.
So I can't really...
prevent it for a long time.
Yeah, unless everyone colludes not to give you this piece of information, yeah. then you'll see that eventually.
And I basically ask everyone for everything. So I ask you for Xenia's messages, and mm-hmm. I ask Xenia for your messages. Yep. And I also tell, is it also called hate in this case? The block hate? I mean, the number that we were talking about? Is that
right.
hate?
The height. Height. Yeah. The height. Just the sequence... number,
okay.
yeah.
Okay.
I guess it does. Height also makes sense, but I haven't.
It's called sequence number. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Height makes sense because it's like the longest. My personal little chain, or like my personal point hash point thing. Mm-hmm. The longest one will be probably the true one, but not necessarily.
Well, it doesn't have a concept like the longest chain because creating new blocks is trivial. Mm. So you can...
It won't fog.
Yeah, so the logs are required to be singly linked list. And if it forks... so this hasn't been implemented yet, but the idea is that if it forks, it tends to break the replication. So we interpret... I think the solution is to interpret a forking as this feed has been compromised. So it could be someone else stole your key or something like this. But basically, yeah. you're not allowed
to
do that.
It's actually likely, right, that the key was stolen if there is a fork
yep.
or a bug in the software.
Yes. Yep.
Ah, right.
Okay, so what are the applications? Are we already at the applications?
We might as well, because yeah. then we can dive back into the technicalities after our listeners figure out what it is actually for. And
yeah.
There is an application I'm already using.
This data structure maps really directly to any social media application. So they all have, you follow people, and then they have feeds, and then the user interface is based around, like, interleaving all of these feeds from different users that you follow. And... this style of application has demonstrated itself as like humans get quite stuck using them. Like you don't, they you know, they're quite addictive.
yes.
But also they have a few interesting properties as well. From a security perspective, is that you can interpret them as a kind of trust network. So when you choose to follow someone or not, so compare Twitter to email. In email, anyone who has your email address can send you messages, and so you spend a lot of your time just trying to filter out the people that you didn't want to send you messages. On Twitter, that's not really such a problem. Well, at least the people that you follow, you get whatever they post, and you deserved it because you basically solicited the spam. But that means you actually have quite a lot of – you have complete control over what you see. Like, you don't need to – like, with email, I'm always unsubscribing from mailing lists that I swear I've never subscribed to, probably every day.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes when you unsubscribe from the list, it means that someone knows that you actually was bothered to unsubscribe from something and then subscribe you to another 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah, because that's why they have an unsubscribe button. It's, well, I'm paranoid, but I think that's what it's for.
Yeah. Yeah. And
well, there are.
I hadn't thought of that, but.
Sorry for going off topic.
No, there are honest players, I'm sure. Mm. But you are right. That such a thing exists probably also.
There's probably also just incompetent ones that they unsubscribe. They have an unsubscribe button, it just doesn't work.
Yes.
Anyway. So feeds are an application, and the good thing with Skettlebugs would be that anyone could transport the feeds, and we would still have integrity, and we could distribute this problem to. Are there Skettlebug nodes? Is it a network protocol, or is it only available for certain applications, and then you need a network layer also? Or how does that work?
The distribution. Well, there's like a server, a database thing that you run on your. That runs on your device, and then applications can be a client to that local server.
Mm-hmm.
So currently we have a couple of of things built on top of it. The first is called Patchwork, which was just like a social media application thing, because the first thing we needed was something to test out the protocol and something to, also to discuss where we're going, what we're going to do next and stuff. So it's just a, it's just a kind of Facebook-esque like discussion thing that has, you can public posts and private messages, and we use that to discuss things we think are interesting and where the development goes. And then...
So you use this internally already communicate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We're getting more and more of the development on like self-hosting onto Secure Scuttlebutt. So the next thing that's really exciting is a Git SSB.
A Git what?
Git.
Yeah.
Git. It's basically Git on top of Secure Scuttlebutt.
Ah, SSB is Secure Scuttlebutt. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's, so you can clone and push and make pull requests and post issues. And so it has enough of Git and enough of GitHub to that. That's what we're using to do the development for Secure Scuttlebutt. It's now on Secure Scuttlebutt. The missing hole we have there is the package manager is still like published to npm and then install stuff, but that's mostly there. And then there's another app called Ferment, which is basically a clone of
how do you
Ferment.
How do I spell that?
F-E-R-M-E-N-T.
What? F-E-M.
F-E-R-M-E-N-T.
F-E-R, Ferment.
Ferment.
Oh, I have a crackling noise here. Yeah. Maybe I'm too loud, actually.
Yeah, as in brewing alcohol or something like that.
Okay, Ferment. Why am I having this crackling noise in my headphone?
I think this is related to you being mono on this mixer,
so
but
just,
not in the recording. So hopefully the noise is also not in the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Actually, I doubt it. But anyway.
Yeah.
By
the way, Dirk, have you been saying Secure Scuttlebug? Or butt. It's like butt, I think, as a
yeah,
as
butt.
Your backside.
Oh, it's not buck.
Yes, it's butt.
B-U-T-T.
Ah. Scuttle butt. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I've always been saying scuttle buck because it sounded right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the idea is to not have a central, like not have a company like Twitter that you have to trust to get the right stream from the right people. But still, and one application is, I had another question. What is it implemented in currently? Do you have more than one implementation?
Just one implementation in JavaScript. So it runs on Node.js.
Okay.
And there's like some proof of concept that runs in the browser.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a light client. So basically the UI runs in the browser, but it has its own private key. So it doesn't actually depend on the server sending it the right stuff.
So what does Ferment do?
Well, Ferment is basically a SoundCloud clone.
Mm.
So it uses Secure Scuttlebutt and it uses WebTorrent to shares the magnet links over Secure Scuttlebutt, and then you can click play and it streams the music.
So there are already three applications which are working and people mm-hmm. can use built on this on yep. top of this protocol.
Yeah, and there's also DNSSB, which is like a DNS tool that uses Secure Scuttlebutt. It's pretty straightforward to build new things on top of it.
So about, like, because the only application I ever used is Patchwork,
mm-hmm.
and I actually found it a little bit confusing to, this idea of networks, because I can set up my own network mm-hmm. and just talk to people I want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And first time I ever tried Patchwork was this year in May. And somehow, in order to see, let's say, Dangerous Beans on a user called Dangerous Beans on Patchwork,
mm-hmm.
I need to go to, like, the public network or something and find him here, there. It's like that kind of network architecture I don't understand.
Well, you basically, your network needs to overlap with their network.
Yeah.
So you need to have some mutual friends in common.
Ah, so the network, because what I didn't get is like when I thought I have to, so basically I start running a node, mm-hmm. like a Patchwork node mm-hmm. in a command line, and then I open it in the browser in like a local host, mm-hmm. whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then I see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to go and enter the parameters of like the name of the network.
The invite code.
Invite code, that's yep. it. And then pretty much everyone who's working on Secure Scuttlebutt in some capacity, they're going to be on a public network.
Mm-hmm.
And if I follow someone there, then what we automatically create a network.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it works. Well,
it currently the behavior we have, because we're starting off small, you need to get some data, so when you use it, you see things.
Mm.
So the default behavior made it so when you follow people, and then you replicate the people that you follow and the people that they follow, so that you will see like some active stuff going on. But once it sort of scales up and there's more people using it, then we'll be able to like wind that back and you'll just see the people that you follow or something like that. But it's like you have to, it sort of spreads by kind of word of mouth. So you have to have a connection to, if once you've found someone exists and have a access to connect to them, then you can replicate their data and meet their friends.
Yeah, so there is no notion of like public channel. Yeah, there is.
Mm-hmm.
It's all public, apparently.
Well, you can.
If you know one individual of a certain network or of a certain defined group of people, then you know the stuff from everyone, right? So it's public.
Yeah. If you want for privacy, you just encrypt them. The messages are encrypted instead. So
yeah, it wasn't a critique. Yeah. It was just.
No, I'm just trying to.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So
yeah.
It's all the messages are like posted publicly. But if you want to just talk to a particular person, you encrypt that message so that only that person can decrypt it.
Yeah, by the way, how are the public keys distributed? So how do I know that I got the right keys?
Right. So once you have one point of contact,
mm-hmm.
So basically when you like follow someone, you post a message that says, I follow this key.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'm basically stating, so you see my message that says, I follow Xenia. Then you know that you can see that that key is related to me. So you don't necessarily know that it's Ksenia yet, but you know it's someone.
I know.
That I think is like a real person. So you can, and when I like, when I'm talking, if I mention senior, I would say like senior with like this name and this public key. And then so you build up kind of a social proof that like within this community, this person, this key is known as that. So basically you give, you get like a web of trust.
So when I follow you, when I start following you, we could have like a fingerprint exchange or something like that. And then your trust to other people would transitively come to me.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit like, as I understand, let's say I ask Felix to give give me your number and he knows your number. And then, I don't know, Dominic says, can you give me Dirk's number? And because Felix gave it to me, and I trust Felix that he has the right number of the right Dirk, not a fake Dirk. So I kind of, I mean, maybe he doesn't know, but then he knows you, he can call you and listen to you. And it's like, yeah, I recognize this voice. It's the right Dirk. And I'm just like, I call you and I think, oh, is it a right Dirk or not a right Dirk? I don't know. But because I got it from Felix, I kind of, can assume that it's the right Dirk, because if Felix call him, call you, and then you sound weird, he gonna call me and say, "Oh, actually, this number I gave to you, it's not right." So there's kind of more people in the room can recognize you as a fake person or real you, right? And flag it.
Yeah, I just wonder how this is reflected in the user interface, that some trust is transitive and some trust is direct.
Well, it's not like really, like it's more pseudonymous than than like PGP. So there's there's some people that I interact with via Patchwork. I have no idea who they really are in person.
But you know it's consistent.
Yeah, but I, but I'm, but to me they're this,
it's the
like,
same person.
They're this avatar in this thing, and they have a personality that I've got to know, and that's kind of, and like this is the like the old, this was the night what the internet felt like in the 90s. It's like I have no idea who that person is, but
it's, you know, the same still
my friend.
Yesterday.
They can still be my friend, and the same person as yesterday. Yeah, yeah. I don't think you don't really need to know that that's one particular person, unless
you want to sue them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still kind of a reputation. If someone has a handle and a public key, and you know exactly that you've been talking to this person, and it's not going to be like anyone else on that other side, unless they actually possess possess your computer and fire up Patchwork and start talking to you.
Yep. And if you see that this person is interacting with other people that you know, then you can see that, you can reason that, well, that person is a real person, or at least an entertaining bot, but they're not just a like spammer. So if you you could, you know, just as easily generate like thousands of fake accounts, but getting real people to follow the fake accounts would be hard. Because maybe one would do it and then they'll be like, no, that was stupid. Or like people would, you can't just create, you can easily just generate, you know, a swarm of sock puppets, but getting the real network to acknowledge that is not easy.
Well, if someone wants to follow them, then they might, but.
Yeah. Like on, when you look at like abuse on Twitter, Twitter doesn't quite have this solution, because when, like it's easy to make Twitter bots, and you can't get people to follow them necessarily, although one trick is just to use a babe avatar, a few people will follow that, and then, but then if you reply to someone, then they'll get notified of that reply, even though it was like from a total stranger. And this is where most of the like abuse on Twitter comes through, is like,
yeah, you get notified, the people mention you in the tweet, and it's like, oh, interesting, and it's just some bullshit.
But I think they, at least in the mobile client, they changed it in a way that you can disable mention notification from
but
people
you don't
follow.
So people you don't follow,
which makes it quite empty for me.
So does it?
So I switched it off.
Does it? because I don't know whether it now runs on mobile as well or
there's the Light client that runs in a browser and you can use that. Well, that's still really at a proof of concept phase currently though.
So in Patchwork, every browser is a node? Is that? No. There are, as you said, you can use the Light client. Is that enough for Patchwork? Do I need more than the Light client? I need
The Light client is just the user interface.
Yeah.
So the Light client depends a little bit more on a server.
Yeah,
but
okay.
It doesn't trust the server.
Yeah, it has its own keys.
Yeah.
Much like this Jax wallet, for example. They only store locally the key, but for everything else, they contact an API on their server.
And you can switch to a different server and it doesn't break anything.
And as long as these two servers are in the same network.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
So there is this notion of a server software that's Patchwork server, or
yeah. So it's a server in the sense that it the server basically answers the phone and the client dials the phone.
Yeah.
And you can have a server running on your laptop.
Yeah.
It's still a server if it can receive connections.
So it's a server in the same sense that IPFS is a server.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or that a Bitcoin node is a server.
Absolutely.
It's more like a node.
Yeah.
A full node.
Yeah. And one of the difficult things about a peer-to-peer network is that, we ran out of IP addresses, and now you have a router, and then the router has a different IP address to the computer that's on the Wi-Fi, and then it's difficult you can't generally make a direct peer-to-peer connection from a server on your laptop to a server on someone else's laptop if they're not on the same Wi-Fi network.
Yeah, you can get around it with Tor, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
So, are you supporting Tor, by the way?
Yes, there is. You can use it over Tor.
Yeah.
And you can make... so.
This can I make it as a hidden service?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is a concept we call pub servers, which is a pub as in a bar, where it's okay. it's the place where your friends, where you meet your friends to exchange gossip.
Yeah. Ah, right, okay. Yeah.
And so it is just, it's exactly the same code as the end, user server, except without a user interface. And if you run that on a server that is publicly addressable, like on a VPS or something like this, then this sort of holds the network together and you just connect to this. And it wouldn't be necessary if everyone had IPv6 or something like this, or everyone used Tor hidden services, but it makes it work.
It helps in the current IP universe where a network address translation is done everywhere, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And having stable servers means that you can know you'll connect. Stable IP addresses means you can know you can connect to that one. And the plan moving forward is just to be able to use these servers as an introducer, so you can connect to this and I can connect to this, and then we can bootstrap a direct peer-to-peer connection.
Right.
Ah,
okay.
Yeah. There is something within the ZIP universe, a Stun server or something like that.
Stun server and a Turn server.
Yeah.
I think Stun server is the main.
Yeah.
One. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so same idea, basically, or in general, similar idea.
Yeah, yeah. And the idea is just that there needs to be, if there's because a Stun server or something like this is kind of centralized, but so I was we just need to create some reason for people to run these servers so that if lots of people run them, then it's not decentralized anymore. It's not centralized anymore. So currently having a pub server means that you can create invite codes which allow people to join the network. So people just run servers, heaps of people running servers actually, just to help keep the network.
So I can't just join the network with a client?
Well,
if I know Xenia is there already, she can give me an invite code, no?
You can get it on, or maybe we shouldn't tell anyone.
So you can get an invite code from someone who has a pub server, or you can, if you're on the same Wi-Fi, you can directly connect to each other and then join.
That's what That's what confused me in May when I first fired up Patchwork, because two of my friends already using Patchwork were in the same room, and I saw them, and I started following them.
Uh-huh.
And then when I came back, there were two people, obviously just two people I knew that I could see, and I wasn't, because I didn't have an invite code.
Uh-huh.
And then by just looking...
Oh, they needed to follow you.
They followed me as well.
Right. Yeah.
And then I could go and see whom they follow and find other nodes.
Mm-hmm.
So the node discovery was like really funny, like...
Mm-hmm.
Like you discover people on Twitter, like you follow, you see, oh, this is a cool person. Who this person followed like 3 days ago? They followed like some, I don't know, node people because he went to like a node conference or whatever. And here on Patchwork, you kind of, you discover people and in a sense you discover nodes in the network as well, which is kind of funny. Something profound I wanted to ask, but I don't remember what it was. So the not so profound. So can you run the pub server on like a small device, like a Raspberry Pi?
Yes, there are several running on Raspberry Pis.
Cool.
And yeah, that would be also my follow-up question. How much storage do I need for the current network?
Okay, so there's, I think the main log file. So main log file is currently like 60 megabytes of
messages in Patchwork.
Yeah, that's of if you're in the like big group, but you don't need to have all of that for it to make sense necessarily. So currently I'm working on things that will make you better scale down and like so just have the people that you directly follow or something like this.
Okay.
And
get the other stuff when I need it.
Yeah. And then there is the concept of blobs or attachments, which are files for like pictures and that sort of stuff, and that is replicated on a different basis. So, it's not part of the log, but your log can have reference to a file.
How would that work via HTTP?
Well, by the hash of the file.
Yeah, but I mean, which protocol would that use? IPFS or HTTP?
It uses a sub-protocol within Secure Scuttlebutt.
So okay. When so you there's see, a network for that.
Yeah, so when you see a message, when you see this message has an attachment and you want to view it, you can just request that blob from Pierce.
Okay, so it's within the Scuttlebutt network.
Yeah.
And by the way, this pub server, this was only a Patchwork pub server, or was it a generic Scuttlebutt pub
generic
server? So the infrastructure right now, and also these 16 megabytes, were not only for Patchwork, but for all the applications that are currently running. So I could also shout by application if I want to in my pub server. Is there an application identifier in the logs?
Well, not really. The messages, so each log is just a bunch of messages, and you can put anything in them. So if one gets too big or something like this, you can just, and if someone's being nuisance publishing too much stuff, you can just unfollow them.
I'm confused about what is Patchwork and what is Scuttlebutt. If I'm only
Patchwork
interested,
Patchwork is an application.
Yeah, yeah, but if I'm only interested in Patchwork and I don't want the other applications, I don't even know their names, and I don't want to store their messages.
Right, so if you follow someone that posts different things in their feed, then you just get everything.
Following someone is independent of Patchwork.
Yeah.
It's a Scuttlebutt feature, not a Patchwork feature.
Yeah.
So I follow someone on Scuttlebutt and not on Patchwork.
Yeah, it's basically like, it's just like you choose what to replicate.
Yeah.
So if you replicate their feed, you get everything in it.
Every application that they're using
that they're putting in that feed.
Yeah.
So you could have multiple feeds for different applications if you wanted to.
But that would mean different identities also for different applications. Yep. So I can have the same identity across applications. Mm-hmm. That's actually useful, right? So I am known in the new application already for someone who knows me on Patchwork, for example. Okay.
But at the same time, there's a time and place for having separate accounts.
Yeah, like, pseudonymity
yeah
might make it, you know, necessary like or useful to have a
like you're a musician and you want to make your new project, new side project, have its own name.
Yeah.
So that your, you know, what people think you're about doesn't rub off onto that thing.
Yeah, it also makes sense for stuff like Facebook, for example. I have one identity for my family and one identity for my coworkers and absolutely. One identity for someone else.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your profound question, Xenia?
I forgot. No, I was just thinking.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, so basically, technically, you can build an application. Let's say if everyone, secure scuttlebutt, every patchwork node is a generic secure scuttlebutt node, or mm-hmm. does it only apply to like pub servers? Not.
No, the generic.
The generic.
There's the generic part inside of it, and then there's a user interface which just presents that database in a particular way.
So the way, let's say if I run patchwork, it just presents and I follow you, I only get your feed as in public messages because my patchwork as an interface wouldn't show me anything else.
Yeah.
But if you were using at the same time the Git, then and if I install that, I will see the Git stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if, let's say, I'm only interested in these two things and I'm tired of having two things in two different windows of a browser, then mm-hmm. I can combine them and just have this hybrid.
Oh, that's on the to-do.
Okay.
It's on the to-do list, yeah.
Right.
That's kind of a different, that's about like the modularity of the user mm-hmm. interfaces. We've got some interesting ideas around there, but that's kind of another thing. The important thing from just before was that you have the messages which are pretty small, so each message is limited to maximum 8K, and then which is enough to write like a not too long post. And then if you have something that's really big, like a photo,
make two.
That's like you have the hash, you just include the hash of that, and then replicating that is optional. So for example, the Git thing posts like blobs of files that then your peer will replicate. But if you're not running the Git client, it won't replicate those blobs.
Ah, you mean no one will be able to get it from me? So if I run
your peer won't download those things that you don't need. The end applications decide whether or not it wants a particular blob, but they're basically committed to all of the messages. So there's a lightweight and like then a heavyweight thing is like on the side.
I'm also wondering, I don't know, maybe it's a bit too specific because I'm kind of using patchwork and I'm not sure if anyone who will listen to it is using
ever heard
it?
Of it?
Ever heard of it? Because it's like, it's a really cool thing, but it's sort of, I mean, you're not doing like a massive promotion of it, right? People find out that it's cool and they start using it.
My approach is to influence the influencers.
Mm.
So I don't want to like sell it to like everyone just yet. I just want to like put the idea in the heads of the people that are really doing like really interesting stuff and things like that.
So what I was wondering is how do I actually start it on the phone? Like, because usually if I'm using patchwork, I just have like host blah blah blah
mm-hmm.
on my computer.
Yeah, that's still in
tricky.
Development basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cuz that I would really like to have and see how it works.
Yeah, I've recently been working on refactoring like all of the stuff in the database. That is going to working towards solving a few problems regards scalability, in the sense that it's not just about like currently the protocol is, you know, it's not unscalable, but it's about making it the interface work for if there are lots of people in the network. So currently you kind of end up replicating most of the network. And if there's millions of people using it, you can't fit all of that on one device. And you don't want to either. You just want to have your little part of the network. And so the few things that I want to enable, so one is encrypted, like group encrypted messages, so you can post a message mm-hmm. that's like only readable by your friends. But not, like currently we have private messages that can be up to 7 people, but you want to have ones that's like maybe 50 or 100 people or something like this. But that's like just, you know, this group of people. And that, I think that's important because then people can create their own communities that aren't, that, you know, because you need privacy just so that you're not necessarily misinterpreted by everyone. Like you want to just, you speak to like this group of people because you know that you have a sort of understanding about how they're going to interpret what you say. A few other things is like you'll have this, so if you follow people, you get their messages, and if you don't follow them, you don't get the message. But sometimes there might be a conversation and someone replies to someone else, and if you don't get their message, then it's just a gap in the conversation. So we have a way of just pulling in a couple of independent messages. So like so this will give us something kind of like retweets. So if you can repost someone's message, and my thing will see that you've done this and then go and get just that one message on its own.
Without necessarily following this other person. I think your beard is rubbing
the microphone.
Yeah.
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 Sorry.
So.
And so that will give your network a more like permeable boundary. So there can be a few things that are like on the side there that you don't need to get the whole thing for it to make sense. And then that's a way of like discovering the new content because it's like the weak links that's like on the boundary of your personal network. That's kind of, many ways, where the interesting stuff happens. That's where the like net is cast the widest.
So how does the development of this is working? I mean, is it like a massive amount of people or just a bunch of really dedicated people? And
there's a couple of pretty dedicated people. I'm basically working on it full time, doing like a little bit of consulting here and there where necessary. And this different, basically, Sal, he's working on the Git bit, and Matt, he made Ferment, and is also working on the user interface and stuff like that. But there's quite an active little community that are using it and doing things.
Yeah, before we continue with that, I have a question about offline capabilities. So Xenia already said when two scuttlebutt nodes see each other on the Wi-Fi, they talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And if somebody... Do they sync up each other? Mm-hmm. Is that what they do? Okay, mm-hmm. And not only about the stuff that was entered by users which use this. And actually, if I'm using a certain server all the time, well, let's call it node, that node doesn't know that I'm the owner of the computer it's running on. I'm just one user that creates stuff in it, and somebody else who could connect to it could also create stuff in it.
Yeah, so you could generally don't run it like that. Generally it's like...
I start it up runs, when I use it, and it, then I shut it
generally
down.
It runs on your computer.
Yeah.
You could have... when you run... sorry.
Wow, you're loud.
Sorry, when you run the Light client,
yeah,
it's like a remote... connects to a remote server, but when you run your local client... it's probably just you using it.
But so it's not open for anybody else to use my... So it is my server, but the origination, the origin of certain messages are not bound to a server, right? There is...
No.
In the message don't contain, this was created on server, on the laptop.
No. Well, the server has a public key as well.
Okay, for the connection. Or
for the... Yeah, for it. Itself, so the server can post messages, and it's just a feed. And when it makes a secure connection with another peer that is encrypted with the public keys.
Yeah.
It's funny. Then I still don't get something. So the pub server, which is like a bar people hang out, it's different from a node because what I'm running now to fire up Patchwork on my computer, it's just a normal node, and I can post messages from it, and the node will sign it for me because it has a key in it.
Uh-huh.
And but a pub server where people come and hang out, and then as the owner of it can get an invites and invite people, then this is a different architecture. Or
no,
something.
It's not really different. It's like it's exactly the same code. Well, when I say like hang out, it's just a maybe the metaphor breaks down. Like it's the pub server doesn't like own anything. It just relays stuff. It's just a point with like.
So people still have to have their own nodes, and I can relay it. So it's more it's more of a relay. It's not like Minecraft server where people come and hang out.
No.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah. So it doesn't do anything special. It just works around the problem of NAT traversal.
Or like node discovery.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Because in Bitcoin, for instance, which also, I mean, every time the new node joins, it has to know something about the network. And I think you just get a list of nodes and you connect to them and you ask them the truth. And I'm not sure if it's like vulnerability or something. And
Secure Scuttlebutt has a very significant philosophical difference with Bitcoin, in that it completely avoids any global singletons. So there's no
what?
Global singletons.
Singletons. Okay.
So in Bitcoin, there's a single blockchain that is all of the data in the universe from Bitcoin's perspective. And Secure Scuttlebutt doesn't have a thing like that. It's just, you could call it a subjective system.
Right, because,
You only get the data that you have stated that you care about.
Yeah, okay.
If there's a billion people using it over there, you don't care unless you say so.
So the message is going to propagate through the network. That's why it maps so nicely on the social... social media applications map so nicely on this protocol, because that's what exactly happening. Is like, if I need to know something, I don't know, I like talking to Dirk, I'm going to hang out with him, and my message is going to propagate to him, and maybe he's going to propagate it to whoever he knows. If I think he stinks, then I don't hang out with him, and I don't propagate messages into his network. So.
Yeah, but the difference is when you tell me something and I tell it to someone else, I usually modify it. Not because I want to, but because my memory, and maybe even maliciously. And this would be different with Scuttlebutt. I can only relay really what you said.
Yeah.
So that's actually cool. So.
Yeah. And it makes the... basically, that solves the spam problem. Or the Sybil problem, where it's like, you know, like if you have, so BitTorrent, for example, has a DHT, and anyone can just put anything in the DHT within, you know, what the DHT will accept, but there's no way to tell if a piece of content is real or not. Bitcoin solves this problem another way by using mining. And mining is like horrendously expensive. But you need to do it, otherwise basically anything could happen. And Secure Scuttlebutt is based on its way of filtering out spam is both, it's cheap for the good actor, for the people you want to, like it's easy, cheap to create a new account and post messages. But the expensive part is getting other people to follow you. And it's expensive in the sense that it's hard to get someone to follow you because they are free to do what they like. So,
and they can stop immediately if you post one message they don't like.
Yeah, exactly. So, like if you're making bots, it might be difficult to get humans to follow them.
Well, if it's an interesting bot.
But if you have your botnet had better be pretty interesting.
What's wrong, Senior?
I think Dominic's too loud, no?
Or too loud? No.
No? Little bit? No, okay. Fine. Okay, sorry, I'm just being like volume control or something. Do you too loud in your beard?
You can control your own volume on this
yes, but
headphones.
I forgot who's who. So you reckon it's my headphones which are too loud?
Maybe.
Right, okay, because I'm just like shouting.
Yeah, because the recording is not going to red.
Okay, great, sorry for like totally interrupting the conversation.
It's okay.
Yeah. So, what are we missing still?
Mm,
I run out of questions. Well, actually, I could come back to this offline question.
Uh-huh.
So if these two nodes don't have a connection to the rest of the network, they don't care, actually, mm-hmm. because they still have something to tell each other. There mm-hmm. might be an update for certain things that they need. So if I as a user follow someone and I don't have everything they posted because I was offline for a while, and then I see another node and we are both actually offline at the moment, but mm-hmm. we can talk to each other,
yep.
then my node would automatically ask that node if that node had updates for all the users I'm following.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty okay. awesome, isn't it?
It's like, also, all the nodes know all the time who's following whom, right?
Well, that's just a kind of a matter of like when you... That's not necessarily the case. It's sort of the default behavior we currently have okay. programmed. So you basically, if you follow someone, you post a message that says, I'm following Dirk now.
So that is also relayed to
yeah.
everyone. So yep. this wouldn't be necessary. I could just, no. if I see a node, I could just tell that node, tell me about A, B, and C because yep. I'm following them. And yep. I could leave out D because I don't trust that node with that information.
Yes.
For example.
Yeah. I also have a scheme that I'm planning on implementing sometime soon where you will be able to, you will request...
A filter?
Your request
like a bloom fades. Filter?
Yeah, your request filled in a way that if you know about that... So instead of saying, I'd last heard news from Xenia on Tuesday, I would give everyone a code name, essentially. So yeah. it'd be like, if, and then if I asked you for that and you know who I'm talking about, then you can send it to me. But if I'm talking about, but if you don't know who I'm talking about,
you could.
It would just, it, you wouldn't be able to tell who I was talking about.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it would mean that it would hide more metadata.
Yeah. So, it could also use a bloom filter, right? To just get more stuff from this node I'm really interested in and then filter locally. I mean, that's what SPV nodes did in the past. It's not very secure, right. But still, it would help not to publish to the node I'm talking to who I'm really interested in. I would tell them who I'm really interested in and some more
uh-huh.
with this bloom filter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could have like add noise and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, but that's currently not implemented and probably also not a priority because actually in a public network like this, it's fine to know who follows whom. I mean, in Twitter, I can also see who follows whom. It's
yeah.
not a secret.
Yeah, but it's kind of what I like about it is, I don't know, maybe I spend too much time in the condition of a shitty internet, which is weird. mm-hmm. But funny enough, I do, even though I'm mostly in like a part of the world which claims to have decent internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically...
In Sweden or Germany?
Well, it's like all the same, right?
okay.
I'm just thinking of like regions. Europe is okay. kind of small. I mean, England has shitty internet and so on. So basically what I can... let's say I'm sitting in on an island with shitty internet. And then I send a friend of mine with just one node to mm-hmm. go to the internet cafe and mm-hmm. sit there for a while.
Yep.
And when this person comes back, I will know exactly what my friend's talking about.
Yep.
And they can send kind of me messages, mm-hmm. private messages, but yep. he won't see them,
yep.
but he will relay them to me.
Exactly.
Either private or public. And
yep.
you mentioned before that some people, including yourself, who work on Secure Scuttlebutt, they live on boats.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like kind of a bit funny coincidence because it's like, if like a bunch of people hanging out on the boat and then one person says, I need to go, and maybe there is no internet there mm-hmm. because you're in, I don't know, far away from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I assume there is internet on your boat, but it's not too far away from the shore.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're too far away from the shore and then maybe you meet someone like who is coming also with a Secure Scuttlebutt node and you just like sync and you get some news.
Absolutely. Yep.
So it's probably good for people like living on space stations, boats,
yep.
Like in interplanetary ships.
We had Dangerous Beans was on a flight somewhere and he was like using Patchwork and the guy next to him was like, wow, that's amazing. How can you have internet here? No one else has internet. It's like, oh, well, it's not internet. It's actually this decentralized peer-to-peer thing, but because it has a local database, it works perfectly. without the internet. And the guy who had asked him was actually an engineer from the South African Antarctic Research Station, and was like, you know, I bet they have really shit internet in Antarctica.
Well, maybe it's awesome, you know. Well, yeah. I know. So, it's not very likely, yeah.
I mean, like, probably they have... you can get, like, internet, like, at sea with, like, a two-way satellite thing, but it's so expensive, it's actually cheaper just to pay rent and live in a house.
Mm.
It's cheaper to what?
To just pay rent.
Yeah.
For a rent?
So, in a house and use wired internet.
Ah.
Then, you know, okay. Like, I have... I use 3G from my boat, and that's like, it's a little more expensive than if you have wired internet, but you save so much on rent that it's cheaper to do that. But it only works within, you know, within side of land.
Yeah.
In the deep ocean, in the ocean, there's only this very, very expensive, very slow.
So what this dude from Antarctica said that he's interested in like using it, or he was just like... It makes him think that remote locations like that, where you have to just, well, bring some chunks of the internet mm-hmm. to the people, and then people can sync. And a cool thing would be if, let's say, this person comes, sits around with all these people who mm-hmm. Who don't have internet,
mm-hmm.
then they can send all the messages,
mm-hmm.
and then this person can go and go on the internet, and then all their friends can get these messages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, so it gives you a way of building applications that can operate viably in conditions like that, which, to be honest, is actually most of the world, apart from the really rich parts.
It's interesting for festivals as well, would say, because every time, like, people can talk to each other on the festival,
mm-hmm.
and maybe internet is shitty or non-existent, so people talk to each other on the festival, and then every time someone comes... from like the city to the festival,
mm-hmm.
They bring news.
They bring news because no one need to know. It's like, oh, dude, tell us like what happened back in the city because you've been on the internet. You don't need to ask that because mm-hmm. his node automatically will. Okay, if let's say a bunch of people using Git on Secure Scuttlebutt, then people who like waiting for some commits on their mm-hmm. projects or whatever they're going to get them.
Yeah, totally.
If it's messages. So I can think about like, yeah, pretty cool applications because I don't know why, but I end up always in shitty internet situations.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's like really crucial and I need to know something.
Yep.
Yeah, but that wouldn't help then because it will take a while until somebody comes by and gives you that information. You still don't get it immediately when you really want
it. You don't get it immediately, but at least you have a chance.
It does have a way of getting
through.
There was a thing, a small JavaScript thing in Australia called Camp.js. And they were using it, Patrick, internally for their own, like, internal, like, hanging out and communicating with each other.
Oh, huh.
It was called, and so it was on an island that had no internet. And there was no internet connection. That was kind of the point of their camp.
Yeah.
Because we go there to...
They expected it to be
exactly. We go there to not use the internet. And they were using Patchwork internally. And there were a few people from the regular Patchwork community there. And we started seeing... So I didn't attend, but... I started seeing all these messages from there, and I was like, "Oh, that's strange. What's happened?" And they were like talking about how it's offline. I'm like, "I'm there. I can see what you're posting and that sort of stuff." And then
you're not offline anymore.
It turns out that some of the people who were there like went down the beach to where you could get like a couple of bars and synced out to the internet through there. And so we were like at the Secure Scuttlebutt community attended this completely offline event. Very asynchronously via like someone walking down the beach and like replicating data.
Yeah. So what basically we were at what is called Hedonistic Congress.
Oh, yeah.
And I sometimes would get like a tiny bit of the internet,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just like, oh my god, and then it's gone. I don't know why. It's like some alien ship passed by and beamed some internet on me, and so what would be cool with this kind of thing, if let's say instead of using Twitter or whatever, I had Patchwork, whoever will get a little bit on the internet, mm-hmm. as long as I follow them, mm-hmm. they will relay everything yep. that I'm interested in.
Yep, pretty yeah. much.
But because they relay everything, so that will not scale,
well, they don't,
right?
They don't relay everything. They just, you would get the your mutual network.
Okay,
so,
okay, it's scalable yeah. in that way.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't get anything from anyone you're not following at all because there's no connection?
You could get things that are shared, like if you both follow if you both have the same mutual friend, then you'll get that. But
okay,
they,
but only that from that shared mutual friend.
You won't get completely different stuff from strangers, just the common interest.
But if I follow someone, then he will know that, I mean, of course he will know that I follow him, but he will also get the stuff that's not for him, but also get the stuff that's for me. So that when we meet, I will get it from him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But what I already asked, but I forgot already what the answer was. Let's say I follow Dirk and you follow Dirk, and then I'm offline, and then you went went on the internet, and then and Dirk meanwhile was trying to send me a private message. So you will still relay it to me, even though you can't see what's
because
in it.
Because his private message is like a normal post on his feed. It's just encrypted.
With my public key.
Yeah, so it means I can't. I could basically, whenever you send an encrypted message, you attempt to decrypt it, and if you succeed, it was for you.
And if you fail, that wasn't
then
for you.
Then it wasn't for you.
Okay.
Yeah. But you try to decrypt every single message, and the neat thing about this is it hides the to field, essentially.
Ah, I see. So
I can't tell who the message was for.
Okay. Because every node, that's very cool as well. So every node tries to decrypt everything, and that's how you can it becomes hard to figure out who's talking to whom eventually.
Yeah, and if you had all the messages in the internet, it wouldn't scale at all, because you can't try to decrypt every single email ever. But because it only replicates your personal social network, then it just means that these messages could be for anyone you know, but you don't know.
Because gossip protocols, they're sort of famous for being noisy and clunky because of that, because you try to replicate everything. But as long as you have this follower layer, then it kind of solves the problem because you replicate what you're interested in.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting,
So you had some personal questions.
I already asked them.
About how to use this thing. So maybe we can slowly be wrapping up, unless you want something to add. Because how long we've been
1 hour
recording?
Oh, that's heaps.
So I have an internal clock, right? I can feel 1 hour. So maybe we just slowly wrap up, because people actually tell me you don't wrap up, you just cut, and you're just like, okay, bye. I don't know
that's
how.
That's what you do in a podcast, actually.
Okay, well.
Well, okay,
okay,
well,
people, that's what you do in a podcast. So I'm allowed to do that.
One final thing, then, I guess, is if you're curious, you come to. We're on GitHub, github.com/SSBC. That stands for Secure Scuttlebutt Consortium. We're not really a consortium, that's just a joke on the W3C consortium. /patchwork-electron is the easiest thing to install directly. There's loads of other code and stuff you can look at there as well.
Yeah.
But the community is really friendly. Like, totally happy to answer questions, even stupid ones.
Maybe I should start a pub relay server and become an octahedron identity on it and see if anyone gonna ping us. Then
you could put your podcasts on Ferment as well.
Oh, that's a nice idea, because then we get really cool listeners, because usually people who hang out
there
in
are
this
not many podcasts there already.
Yeah, you might be the first podcast. Then you've got like a fully decentralized podcast.
Okay, sounds good, because then I don't need to keep track of the backup of all the files that are clocking. I mean, I will do
Yeah, but then we can also put it on all kind of decentralized stuff. Yeah, but we need to eventually like walk the walk and the talk we're talking, and like at least bang it somewhere on decentralized something.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I cannot promise to look into this.
I will look into this.
Cool. Mm. Great.
Okay. So.
Let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up.
Yes. Bye, okay. Everyone.
Thanks for, see you later. For being with us.
Thanks for having me,
Dominic. And goodbye.
Bye.
Listeners. Just a second. I need to.